Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast, brought to you by Cumberland Farms, two for $4 breakfast sandwiches.
$4?
$4. You got $4, Sherrod, right? Chris Forsberg, money bag. He got $4. We know that. Make sure you check out Cumberland Farms. Stop in today and enjoy your favorites. Offer valid on any two $2.39 breakfast sandwiches, plus applicable sales tax.
Love breakfast sandwiches.
I'm enjoying my $1 coffee from Cumberland Farms. I don't know if you guys
know.
And
they got different flavors, too, right?
They got everything. They got the little, you can pick your coconut, you can pick your hazelnut, whatever you want. They got muffins, donuts, like, the morning Forsberg run goes to Cumberland Farms, and my kids get the Slurpees, and so you got to get over to Cumberland Farms.
I am all about the breakfast sandwich. Give me a little bacon, egg, and cheese between a little bread. Bam. Ready to roll.
All right, guys, let's dive into this week's Celtics Talk podcast. So much to get to. The Celtics had a rough road trip, but then they came back home Wednesday night and beat the Bulls handily, easily. Let's start with the current state of the Celtics, Sherrod. The road trip was bad. 1-4, could have been 0-5. I'm a little concerned about this team. I know the Bulls came at the right time, and they beat the Bulls, looked great, but it was the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about this team. We're going to get into Jimmy Butler later and Philly making that move. We're going to talk to Shimi Ojeleye about the current state of the team. But what's your thoughts on this team right now?
Head above water. That is where they are. They are a team that has and still has championship aspirations, but they know that, and they're learning firsthand, the road to being a championship contender is long, painful, rocky terrain. Al Horford had a chance to talk to him after the Bulls win, and I thought he really – encapsulated, I think, what this team's mood is, and that is, yeah, this was a good win, but we got a lot of things to work on, and we're still learning how to be the hunted. This team understands that they're good, but there's a different level that you got to bring night in, night out, when everybody got you that big, fat bullseye on your backside. They're not used to that.
They're used to being the hunters,
yeah,
you know,
which
chasing
is, to me, yeah.
LeBron and the Cavs or whoever, Toronto.
Yeah,
but
no
now,
pressure with that.
Exactly. Because
if you fall short, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not the team everyone's facing or focused on, I should say.
But you know what's going to happen is this game against Toronto on Friday is great because there's a chance to sort of change the narrative. Everyone's sitting here saying, oh, that's such a bad road trip. You come home, you get a feel-good win, and now you go out there. Here's the measuring stick game they need. If they go out there and win against Toronto, whatever happens against Utah, there's a chance for them to sort of rebuild that confidence. And this schedule after that,
right, really opens
chance
up
for them to take flight. And I don't want to give them the out of having had a tough schedule. They should be better than they are. And that Magic loss was inexcusable. They should have beat Indiana and gotten that trip off on a better foot. They didn't do it. And so now they have to atone. If we can look back in 2 months and say, hey, maybe they needed that little wake-up call, then they can turn this into a positive. But right now they're still working to kind of get themselves out of it.
I thought it was really telling that after the win over the Bulls, and, you know, this team is all about that one game at a time, one possession at a time. And yet they were openly talking about Toronto and Utah. That's unusual. It speaks to where their focus is. They know that, as Chris pointed out, they've given a couple games away. This is the chance for them to get at least one or two of those games back that, frankly, they should have won.
Because it probably bothers them, too, right? Like, they come into the season, they're the team that's supposed to be the kings of the East. All of a sudden, we see Milwaukee get off to a fast start. Everyone's looking at Toronto with Kawhi. I think there's part of the Celtics that's sitting there while they're acknowledging that they haven't lived up to their own expectations. They might be a little bit salty that the rest of us are just sort of like, well, you know, maybe the Celtics aren't going to be as good as we thought.
I mean,
but that's what they need, and that's what they like, right?
You know,
they like to be doubted.
They love to be the underdogs, and maybe this can, ironically, how ironic would it be if they finally have all these expectations, but now what gets them going is being counted out again.
That's what they do. When you look at their record, their record right now.
Thanks for contributing, Sherrod.
Can I finish the thought, young butterfly? Can I finish the thought? When you look at their record, I mean, they're not record-wise all that much better than the Sacramento Kings. And
sensitive subject, Sherrod. Kings pick is a sensitive
it
subject.
And that's why I'm putting it on the table now. Listen, you have to be better than that team. I don't care how many injuries, illnesses, you know, missed flights, whatever you want to justify why you're not getting it done, you got to be better than them. And you got to be better than anyone in the East, frankly. I think Toronto and Milwaukee, obviously, they're two teams that are going to be there. But the Celtics, from top to bottom, you should be significantly better than any of those teams.
Yeah, you mentioned those other teams. How big is home court advantage in the playoffs? Because if Toronto has home court throughout, there's no LeBron in the East for them to have to worry right. about. That concerns
That's
me.
That's the boogeyman for Toronto.
Right, LeBron That's is gone. Boogeyman. That's their boogeyman. So if the Celtics got to go into Toronto, a place historically they have not played well, and win a playoff game, you got a whole country against you when you go up there to Canada.
But Drapes, it goes back to the point you made earlier. When are they at their best? When everything around them says, you're going to lose. That's when they
ball out. So you're not worried about home court?
I'm not as worried about it as a team like Toronto is, because they know that if they got to win a game seven on the road, that ain't happening. Philadelphia, I think they're a little bit different now with Jimmy. Before Jimmy, I'd say that they would be crapping in their pants if they knew they had to win a game seven on the road.
Nah, Jimmy's that dude, though. He ain't scared to go into it. Yeah.
But the question I have with him, and we'll get into Jimmy later, is Jimmy ain't scared. Well, what about the crew that he's with? I still think you got some nervous Nellies on that roster.
Nah, dude. We're going to talk about the Sixers later.
And I ain't talking about Joel Embiid either. So
you're talking about
know.
Ben Simmons. And we'll talk about Simmons. And that's why they got Jimmy Butler to help with that. But Chris, to help with that, we'll talk
cover,
about that.
To cover, replace. Oh, I'm sorry.
But can
ahead.
They go into, let's say, even Milwaukee? Mm-hmm. I mean.
You talking about the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't win. No, don't act like they beat Milwaukee at Milwaukee last year in the playoffs, Sharad.
Same teams?
I would say the Bucks are even better now than they were. Bucks are an improved team.
I hate
so you're disrespecting Milwaukee. That's a disrespectful move.
Put some respect on
the Bucks, dude. You got a likely MVP candidate right there.
We can put some, well, never mind. I'll leave that to the folks that linebacker and all of them to take care of that. But go ahead, Chris.
I don't love seeding talk this early in the year because things are going to change. We know that historically, even teams that start 500 over the first 15 games, there's plenty of movement. Teams settle in. I don't think you have to sit there and wonder every night, oh, are the Celtics 3 games behind this? That stuff will play itself out. Now, certainly in head-to-head matchups, you start worrying about that. But I don't get too worked up about where they are right now. Now, that being said, if the standings maintain and you're looking at a situation where you've got to go on the road and say Toronto in round one or round two and then Milwaukee, that is daunting.
Sharad making this face like, see, that's the problem, Sharad. You're acting like the players to believe in all the press clippings, like they could just show up and win. These guys got to put in the work, Sharad.
Drapes.
Milwaukee's not just going to lay down. Toronto's not going to. You're overconfident right now.
No, I'm not overconfident. I'm embracing the reality that what I see today is not going to be the same as what I see in April, May, and June. I think Toronto is off to a great start, and they should be popping their collars every chance they get in November. But I think what we see from them now,
you don't think we'll see an improved Toronto team?
No.
So the Celtics can improve from now till then, but Toronto can't.
You know why?
So
because when you look at
more games with Kawhi, they can't improve. A guy been there 12, 13 games, but yeah, give him a full season, they're not going to be better.
First of all, Kawhi Leonard is one man on a team of 13 players, okay? Kawhi is going to show up. I'm not sold on anyone other than Kyle Lowry. I think you got a lot of suspect cats on that team, and as the season goes along, that they are going to be exposed. Let's be real, they're underachieving now. They are a better team than what we're seeing, and you know over time, they're going to get better. You look at Brad Stevens' track record throughout his time in Boston, his teams get progressively better as the season progresses. So the fact that I'm looking at you funny because Toronto is doing well, and I'm not buying that, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid like you might be doing right now, don't trip. I'm looking at the reality of what I'm seeing in front of me, and I see a team in Toronto that's playing some of the best basketball that they're going to play all season long. No one is disputing that. And I see a Celtics team that really isn't that far behind them, and yet they're clearly not playing their best basketball.
What if Kawhi goes to another level, though? What if Kawhi is like the Kyrie and Gordon? Like, you know, if he's still working it out and he's this good right now, that is a little bit scary to me because he looked really good. And if he can find that other level, if he can be the player we saw in San Antonio, then all of a sudden you're looking at matchups against Kawhi, Giannis. Like, it's tough when the best player is on the opposite
then
side.
Then it becomes a game of, okay, can my three kings beat your ace? Because it's a one-player team, is that what you're saying? No, what I'm saying is the point that Chris made, and it's a legit one, is that if he can elevate his game to where he's one of the aces in the NBA, the Celtics can only counter that with three kings. And we're talking about Kyrie, obviously. We're talking about, you know, Gordon Hayward and probably an Al Horford or Jason Tatum, one of those guys. So the Celtics are going to have to win with depth. There's no question about that, because when they, the deeper they get into the postseason, the more likely it is that the best player on the floor is not going to be wearing a Celtics uniform.
I agree with that, Sherrod, but my concern – And this is a concern. It's not, you know, just
it's not you hitting the panic button.
No, because okay. You're just thinking everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows.
I didn't you're say
expecting
that, but go
ahead. Gordon Hayward to be Gordon Hayward. You're expecting Jason Tatum to continue to make a leap. So you're giving
that's
the Celtics
stretch?
Every benefit of the doubt, but you're not giving any other team a benefit of the doubt.
That's so wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because when you talk about Gordon Hayward, I'm talking about someone who has actually done it. Last time I checked, Eric Bledsoe hasn't really done a whole lot in this league to where you can feel that, oh, he's going to be the guy that's going to elevate his game, okay? Now, when you talk about Toronto, Kyle Lowry, great player. Pascal Siakam,
yeah.
He's playing great. But again, those are young guys who haven't done it. I'm talking about guys who've actually done it at a high level in the NBA who are not playing their best basketball right now. So when you talk about guys with a proven track record getting back to where they've already been versus guys who haven't done it yet, but maybe, just maybe, this will be the year where they'll get it together and they'll be great in the playoffs. Come on, Drapes.
Well, you're being so dramatic right now, so theatrical. I love the fact that we're talking about May in November right now.
Well, that's because that's what it comes down to. This season, for all the teams we're talking about, they can have great regular seasons, and I think all of them will have good seasons, but ultimately is what are you going to do when the games matter most? What are you going to do when all the chips are at the center of the table?
Chris,
what hand do you have?
What do you make of Kyrie saying the other night, I wish we had a 14-15-year vet? Then everybody started wondering, oh, is he talking about Carmelo? Who's he talking about? Kevin Durant next year? Like, what do you, I mean, he backtracked on that yesterday.
I was one of those people. I was on Basketball Reference.
Right.
Like, show me every 15th-year veteran. Yeah. And I'm like, no. And then you see Carmelo, and you're like, oh, thank God he's 16. You know? Like, Celtics don't need that. I think it was more, you know how Kyrie tends to go off on these tangents. Yeah. And I think what his larger point was that he wishes he had someone maybe beyond himself that could stand up and say, hey, guys, like, yeah, this has been tough, but this is a long season. Let's not overreact. But I don't know. To me, that's also Kyrie's role. Like, I think Kyrie's the one who's supposed to step up in that situation. Good that Marcus Smart was that, even though he's only 24 years old, was the guy who stood up and said, this isn't acceptable. I'm not going to give him credit for that, turning everything around and putting the Bulls here, but that Bulls win. But, you know, someone had to step up and say something, so good on them. I think it's refreshing that, you know, Kyrie did come out yesterday and say, you know, okay, maybe as he comes back to earth a little bit, maybe we don't need a 14 or 15-year veteran. We've got some talent in here. We have veterans. We'll figure this out.
I just wonder if there's a part of him that just looked and said, okay, let me see, who's 14, 15? Ooh, oh, hell no. We don't need a 14, 15-year veteran.
He went on Basketball Reference, too. He looked it up, too.
What the hell was I thinking? Oh, that was just one of the moments where I was just out there. Look, they don't need a 14, 15-year veteran. They just need to stick with what they know they're supposed to do. It always comes back to what our good friend Bill Belichick says. Do your job.
Maybe there's a P.J. Brown at the February or March deadline like that can come in and give you a little something more.
Yeah,
than
they might do something.
But
at
like, I don't think it's like right now they don't
buy out market or something like that.
That always happens.
March. All right, boys, let's get to an expert now in actually basketball, not guys who talk about it, but somebody that actually plays. Shemi Ojeleye, second year player of the Celtics, joining us on the Celtics Talk podcast. Shemi Ojeleye, what's up, big dog? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Yo, I'm watching you rock the BWA sweatshirt. I thought it was just t-shirts out there.
Marcus Morris gave him the official induction. I was surprised to find you weren't an original member, but after he went out and put the locks on Giannis, he got the official call to the BWA.
You know what they're going to do, though? This is just the first version. There's going to be the BWA Collection 2.0. That's what they're setting us up for. I like that.
No, that's a tight sweatshirt.
Yeah.
No, I think it looks good. I do too.
Maybe he's like Snoop Dogg. You know what I mean? How Snoop came in, you know, a little after the fact. But then Snoop blew up too, though, right? He became the star of the
bunch. For one, Strapes, you actually said something that makes sense. Good for you.
See, you see what
nice
I deal
job.
With, Shemi.
Shemi, who is spearheading this? Is this Marcus Morris's project?
I don't know. I think a lot of people out there, just artistic, want to push their you know, their product, and this is what came with it. So it looks good.
It does.
That is pretty dope. Good. Hey, you guys, nice win over Chicago on Wednesday night. Tough road trip, obviously. Where would you say this team is right now?
I mean, we have a lot of work to do. We know that. But I think we're all on the same page as far as knowing, you know, where we have to grow. You know, defensively, offensively, we know we have a high ceiling. But right now it's about not just being capable but actually executing, you know, when it comes time to play. So, you know, everybody knows what we have to do. We just have to focus and try to get it done each night.
Shami, my question is always, like, Brad calls on you often, but it's more often when someone like Giannis is on the court. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally get yourself ready for a matchup like that? And do you ever go to Brad and just say, hey, maybe I can play against other guys besides Giannis? Like,
No. I mean, that's the challenge you want. You know, you want to guard guys like that, you know, the guys that are, you know, elite and tough to stop. So I think mentally I try to approach everybody like that. You know, there's everybody that's in this league is here for a reason, and everybody can play. So if you take them lightly, then that's I think that's when you get exposed out there.
What is it like being on a team that everyone is kind of gunning for? Because the one thing, and then Al Horford, he talked a little bit about this, about it, there's a different kind of bravado, if you will, that you have to carry when you're the hunted versus the one who's being hunted. Mm-hmm. How have you guys kind of really trying to work through that process of figuring out that different role that you're in now, which is very different than what it was a year ago?
Mm-hmm. I think we have to keep that same hungry mindset. But I mean, Coach always talks about human nature. Mm-hmm. It's a little different when you're the one chasing somebody versus when you're being chased. So, you know, right now, I have to realize what our goal is at the end of the year to try to go all the way and win a championship. But we have to realize that we can't skip steps. And I think it's night in, night out doing the little things and taking care of the little things that will help us to really be special this year.
I know some guys were frustrated after the loss in Portland. Some guys were heated. How important do you think it is during tough times to rely on each other and to stay together? You know, you got a couple of tough games coming up, Toronto and Utah. And I know it's earlier in the season, but we're seeing other teams a little infighting things get tough. How important is it to stay together and rely on each other?
I mean, it's vital. With everything going on around us, I mean, people are going to talk, you know, when you lose or, you know, what's going on with the team or, you know, they're going to have their opinions. But I think if we try to keep it to the guys in the locker room, then, you know, that'll really help us to overcome anything that any of the noise that we're surrounded with.
We've seen you shooting after practice a lot with Gordon. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your relationship like with him, and what have you thought about him trying to kind of work his way back through this injury process?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been big for me, just being a vet, a guy that I watch, you know, his preparation and, you know, what he's gone through to even get back to this point. I mean, we all know what he's capable of. I mean, it's only a matter of time before he gets back to the, you know, the all-star form that we know he's got inside of him. So, you know, everybody's still backing him. I mean, he's getting there. I think it's just something that is just going to take a little bit more time. And, you know, sooner rather than later, it's going to come together for him.
Do you see those flashes when you're working out with him?
No question. It's been there. Even when I was working out with him, you know, this summer when he was just getting back, I mean, you still see it's still there. So I think it's just a combination of, you know, the guys we have on the court and just gelling and him finding that game rhythm.
What, and I think Drapes, he kind of touched on this earlier, just, you know, some other teams with, like, bickering and infighting. But sometimes there's that can be a positive when guys hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes guys have a different way of doing that than others.
Right.
But what's the key to you guys being more holding one another accountable? Because there's a lot of nice guys in that locker room.
But
it's almost like you want to see guys get kind of a little angry with each other and hold each other accountable in a positive way. Mm-hmm. What's the key to being able to do that in a positive way?
I think first everyone has to know what's right. I think Coach does a good job of communicating, you know, this is what we need to do as a team collectively, and then everyone knowing exactly what their role is. I think once we know that, then you can point to say that, you know, this is your job, you need to do it, or you're not doing it. You know, once that's clearly defined, everyone understands it, then, you know, there's no problem with someone pointing out, you know, you didn't do your job, because then you already know what it is, and, you know, you have no problem with someone telling you that you can do that better, because that's what you need to do.
When you look at the East, who's the teams, you know, come April and May, they're going to be right there standing in your way?
I mean, there's going to be a lot of teams. I mean, I feel like Toronto is, you know, they're obviously hot, off to a hot start. You know the Bucks are always going to be there. I mean, I think they've shown that they can beat anybody in the NBA at this point. You know, they've had a couple of big wins, even out west. I think Washington's going to be a good team. It's a lot of young talent. Just all over the East.
He ain't say Philly yet. I'm waiting. I'm trying to lead you down to, you know, they did get Jimmy Butler. Well, okay, I know
that's
because
that's a smart man is next to you right now.
No, I think everybody wants to point to them, and they have the pieces, but, I mean, they still need to figure it out, too. I mean, who knows who's going to be hot, you know, when playoff time comes. You know, it's always a question not of, you know, what you look like on paper, but who's playing the best at that time. So we'll see.
Shane, I'm just curious. Like, so we heard about Marcus kind of stepping up after that Portland game. Like, what's that like in the locker room? Are you guys sitting there stewing? And what is it like when someone has that voice who is willing to kind of call guys out? And how do players respond to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's definitely feeling a little emotional, you know, kind of upset. Definitely upset about the loss and what we could have done, what we should have done better. But I think just the fact that we all want to win makes it, you know, a positive thing. Even when it's intense, you know, I think we all have the same mindset, you know, we need to win, this is what we need to do to get better, and, you know, that wasn't acceptable. So even when there's, you know, maybe yelling or words exchanged, it's not so much, you know, personal thing, but, you know, this is what we do, and, you know, this is what we're trying to accomplish.
Is there a lot of yelling in the Celtics locker?
I mean, just trying to get points across, for sure.
Good answer. Yeah. I like that. Well, you see Shimmy's tap dance on that one. Boy, that was nice. What I wanted to ask you about is your coach.
Right.
Who, you know, more often than not, he seems to be just Mr. Cool, calm, collected. Mm-hmm. But I my gut tells me that he kind of gets after you guys a little bit in that locker room. What's it like when you have an angry Brad? Because most people see the, you know, the nice, happy-go-lucky. But, you know, but we all know there are times where he gets real hot at y'all.
He is hot, but Brad, to be like, his angry is more like a disappointed parent than like angry drunk. I think everyone just knows that, you know, even when his tone changes, that, you know, guys, we need to shape up here. You know, that's how it is in practice. I think that's enough. I think everybody has that utmost respect for him, so he doesn't have to yell and cuss and scream and start foaming at the mouth for us to realize that, you know, we need to pick it up.
A little different than Larry Brown?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Coach, he wanted to raise the volume a little bit sometimes, but, I mean, everybody has their own style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know, you know, it's still early in the season, and you guys got these important games ahead of you. In terms of just some of the guys, you know, personally, who are you closest to, would you say, on this team?
Probably Gershon.
DJ Gershon.
DJ Gershon on the ones and twos, right?
Everybody seems to gravitate to Gershon. Like, does he just have that personality that makes you?
I'll tell you, like, you can't spend too long around Gersh without smiling or laughing about something. Like, we were in the locker room the other day. He was just laughing about something. Like, when he laughs, then you laugh. So, right. I mean, he's just a good guy to be around.
Is he ever pissed off, though? Like, I can't imagine Gershon, like, angry and pissed off. Even right. That would be funny to me, you know? A pissed off Gershon.
It is, but he's a big dude, so you don't laugh too long.
Right. What happens when he comes in and those Adidas track suits and the bucket hats?
The velour one. That burgundy.
You saw that burgundy? Yeah.
Yeah, that was real nice.
A couple games ago. I mean, that's his style. It's just everything about the guy.
With
just,
the Kangol hat.
With the Kangol hat. Yes, yes.
Who wins a weightlifting competition between you and Aaron Baines?
Baines got about 30 pounds on me, so yeah. So I think Baines is the champion that one.
Better question. Who wins an eating contest on this team? Because you got some big dudes on this squad.
Fact.
That look like they could put it away.
Ooh. I think it might depend on what we're eating.
What's the best food you've had here before you answer that? Like, what's the best thing they tried out at the Auerbach Center?
Probably we had ribs the other day. Ooh, which was okay. Yeah. We had to get out of there before we ate too much.
I was about to say, you didn't save me any? Damn.
Yeah.
I should have put in an order for that.
I know. Like, today, I guess, Gordon Hayward's favorite restaurant, you know, catered, got some grub in there.
Oh,
can you guys request, like, whatever you want brought in?
I didn't even know that was possible.
What would you request? You know.
I didn't know. Right. I'm thinking, but, I mean, Chef Nick and then the whole Nutrition staff do a great job. I mean, they're always cooking up something special. So, I mean, we're spoiled as it is.
What's your favorite part of the new building?
Probably the fact that we have more baskets, so yeah. we're not all stacked on top of each other. It's just everything's just modern, more space. I mean, it's world class. So, it's
all great. Right, Shimmy. Good luck, man. Thanks Appreciate for jumping it. On this podcast. You know, tons of good stuff on it. And
who ate
know.
The most ribs?
Probably Baines.
Did y'all ever have like an eating contest? I mean, I feel
No. Baines always wants to go eat, but it's, I don't know.
We heard about the ping pong. What other competitions are going on around here? Is there anything between you guys that we should know about?
That you should.
Well, I mean, or if you shouldn't know about.
I mean, the ping pong is the biggest thing right now. I mean, I'm sure we'll.
It's still going on.
I think Gordon's the undisputed champ right
now.
Yeah,
really? But he got the tennis player.
He's got his own paddle.
That's not fair. See,
that's like when you go to the bowling alley and you want to go against somebody, and then they whip out their bag, and they whip out the glove, and they whip out their own ball.
You're just like, it's a wrap.
That's what I'm saying. We're done. It's too much right now.
What about Terry? Because I feel like he's the one guy that feel like he could do everything. You know what I mean? Anything, you challenge him at. He'll talk to you. Oh, for sure.
He's going to say that. Him, smart, they'll always say that, but I haven't seen them get on the table, so until that happens, they're trash.
Right. All right, my man. All right, Shimmy Ogilvie, thanks for jumping on the Celtics Talk podcast.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. All right, Shimmy Ogilvie, thanks for coming on. Shimmy was good, guys.
Oh, he was great.
He's good people,
man. He's great.
I'm still pissed at him. He didn't mention the Sixers.
Like, as I said, he was great.
Dog, I teed him up. I set him up with a wide open layup.
So why did you make
it? And so what did he do? You step back and hit the three ball because it was worth more than your easy layup.
Defend your Sixers.
Dog, they added a top 10 player. And you know, Elton Brand said it. They arguably have arguably, of the top 20 players in the league. Now, mind you, it's going to take some time for them to work. And I see you. Why are you always making faces, Sherrod? You don't believe it?
I actually just took a breath.
Is Embiid top 20?
Yes.
Is Jimmy Butler top 20?
Yes.
Is Ben Simmons top 20?
That's the one that you got to have. He is on the picket fence right now. And look, it's a broken record in talking about your boy Ben Simmons. He can't shoot.
Right.
He can't shoot. It's that simple. If he even attempted to shoot, that I'd like to see that.
He's been effective even without shooting.
But here's my big concern about Jimmy Butler, though. And this is really the only thing that makes me a little bit nervous about him is that he has been, let's face it, Chicago, he has some young guys around him, didn't quite work out. Minnesota, he had really good young players around him.
But they ain't dogs in Minnesota. There were no dogs in Minnesota.
Outside of Embiid.
That's the top dog. That's all you need.
You need one. So you only need one dog, really.
And Ben Simmons puts in the work. Let's not act like Ben Simmons ain't out there working. He had one bad game against the Celtics, and now you're trying to put this narrative on
him. He had a bad series.
First of all. Come on,
a red shirt rookie
Come on,
who spent the entire first season in the NBA.
What you guys in the media do to these young players nowadays, man. Let these dudes develop. You don't think Ben Simmons is going to improve with time?
I think he will get better. He'll be more experienced. Well, can he take a jump? Forget about making it. That's like phase two. Let's get to phase one where he actually takes a shot outside the paint. Because, Drapes, you've been around this league long enough to know that at some point, whatever your bread and butter is, teams are going to figure out a way to take that from you. They're going to force you to do some things. You're going to have a plan B, plan C, plan D if you're a great player. Ben Simmons has a great plan A and B, which is drive and kick or drive and finish. Outside of that, what can he do? What's he giving you offensively if he's not giving you one of those two things?
But he's so good at those areas you just mentioned,
exactly.
Sherrod.
He is. But
he's like elite at that.
I will give you that. What I'm telling you is this, and you know this is true. Guys at some point figure out how to take away or at least limit what you do well, and you have to have something to counter that with. And he does it. That's my biggest issue
with
him.
Sixers a more formidable challenger now than they were last week.
They are, but the one thing I'll keep coming back to, though, is that they didn't fix their biggest problem, which is that they still need shooting.
They don't have shooting.
But no,
Drapes. I'm going to shake that off, because when did they add shooting last year?
Bellinelli.
And exactly. But that was at the deadline and in the buyout market. So, they're going to go out there and
absolutely.
Add shooting? Come on now.
But now how much depth are they going to have left? If they have to keep giving up pieces,
no,
like
you
did you
then
wait
you
to
get
the
Kyle Korver?
Look, as long as you got Markelle Fultz, you good.
You got Kyle Korver on a, you know, probably for a second round pick or something like that. They got some young boys that can shoot. Also, they're young. You know, Shamet.
I like Shamet.
Exactly.
I like
he's
him.
A baller. That's like
I like so him better than the number one pick. To be honest with you,
but you know what? I just think you know when you look at how top heavy the Sixers are, any given night you could argue they got. The three best players on the floor, or two of the three.
Yeah, I'll give you two.
You know,
of three.
And so you know, I know there's some other issues, shooting and all that, but they'll surround him and shoot. Dude, you throw JJ Redick in the starting lineup. You know,
sure.
The best shooter. You know, outside of Golden State.
That's the one thing I'm hesitant to necessarily like. I think the Sixers are better. I do not know where they fit in the East hierarchy yet because I need to see Brett Brown work through everything and figure out how all these pieces work together, how Jimmy fits in, where's the shooting coming from, what is going to happen now with Markelle Fultz. Like, if they can answer those questions real quick, if they come out and start winning, if they lose games to the Magic, then it's going to be harder to take them seriously, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're working in new pieces. That's a tough game. I won't fault them too much for that. But I do think they still have some stuff to show. You know, the one thing I go back to with Jimmy Butler, we had this Jimmy Butler conversation before the season. You know, what has Jimmy Butler done in the playoffs? I mean, he's gotten teams second round occasionally. Celtics knocked him out in the first round when he was paired up with Dwayne Wade in Chicago. Like, I need to see more to be sold that Jimmy Butler is what takes you, your Sixers, to another level.
And the thing about, you know, Jimmy, when you look at the team he just left, I mean, you had a guy in Karl-Anthony Towns who, you know, not that long ago, every franchise would deem him as the guy you build around.
He's been exposed, though, right?
I'd say so.
He was exposed.
And Jimmy had a big part in that exposure.
He was awful in the playoffs last year.
Too. Right. And then you've got Wiggins, who I think talent wise is there, but he's like flipping a coin. You might get heads. He's going to be balling out. You might get tails.
Embiid is the real deal, though, right?
Right, absolutely.
Right, just making sure.
But Ben Simmons, Drapes, I love what he can do well. I absolutely love the fact that he can get to the rim damn near anytime he wants to and finish, or he can drive and kick. But, Drapes, I've seen this before. But I've seen guys who have a very strong skill that unless they either branch out and acquire other skills or take their skill to another level, which I don't think he can, because right now I just don't think there's a lot
Come
of room.
Come on, Shirai. Drapes, but no, see,
Drapes,
but here's
his
your
ability
problem,
to drive
no,
and kick and his ability
problem.
To finish are at a level
Dude,
where
just because you scream and don't make you right. Here's the
and
thing.
And just because you're talking, it definitely makes you wrong.
You
but
got
keep going.
Jimmy Butler taking some of the heat off Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons doesn't have to be elite every single night now. Think about it. The Sixers had a second-year guy in Joel Embiid who was banged up, you know, for part of the season, and a rookie in Ben Simmons. Think about that, leading the team. Now you add a vet like Jimmy Butler in, take some of the pressure off those guys. Jimmy Butler's a gamer. He's a dog. You got to admit that.
When
you know,
he's healthy,
he adds
yes.
some
when
toughness.
He's healthy, yep.
And
right.
so I just think, you know what, man, it's a big four out in the East right now, I think. I think there are four legitimate teams that could come out of the East.
Where does Philly fit in that
Yeah,
I
was just
saying
it's a power
like, Where do you see them at?
Where do you got them?
You know, as of right now, I got them fourth.
It might not even get out of the first round. Damn.
Oh, first round? Damn. Yeah. All right, on that note, on that nonsense, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Shimmy Ogilay. Look at you, Shri. You only believe you said that, dude.
I believe in my man Shimmy. I believe in Shimmy's group.
Yeah, Shimmy is the man for coming on the Celtics podcast. Great stuff from
Shimmy
him.
Know what's up.
For A. Sherrod Blakely, Chris Forsberg, we'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast.
We out, my man Shimmy.